When people think Christmas, Santa and presents frequently come to mind, especially if you're under the age of adult. How can we cultivate a spirit of generosity during this festive time and learn how to carry it into the new year and the months after? And just who is this Santa Claus fellow, and how should Christians address this to our children? Today, we will discuss what the Bible has to say about generosity, addressing some giving hurdles, and what to do about this Santa fellow. Santa? I know him! Welcome to the Sheep Who's Faithful podcast, episode number 21, Truth and Encouragement to Live Gospel-Centered Lives Every Day. I'm your host, Lauren Lushak. Hey friends, thank you for joining me today and inviting me into your homes or in your car or running. I know some of you have said you listen to podcasts while you run, which is incredible because I don't run. And if I did, I can imagine podcasts would not help matters. But thank you. Thanks for letting me be part of your day. I love seeing all your Christmas trees on Instagram. I think every post has a Christmas tree in it, and it's magical and wonderful. And maybe you've seen my posts about our magical 3.5-foot Christmas tree that we went and cut down. And I have to tell you the story real quick because it's pretty great. You see, apparently here in Denver, Colorado, you need a Christmas tree ticket to cut down from the National Forest like in October. Like, people love their Christmas trees. They like going on their family adventures and romantic little outings with their husby, you know, if they have no kids, and chopping down trees, which is very romantic when you think about it. Anyway, we did not think this far ahead and thought, wow, let's cut down a tree this year with our family. Our kids are, you know, slightly old enough. One can fit in an Ergo still, so let's do it. And apparently we, you know, missed the boat on that one. But a friend of ours had an extra ticket to go cut down a tree, so we went and explored. And, you know, we have these self-timers, which are called children. They're built in. They will sound an alarm when they are done. And unfortunately, there's not much warning. They just go off. So we have these built-in timers, and we're going tree to tree to tree, looking at them, and we're like, do we want a tall and spindly tree? Do we want a short and full tree? Those are kind of our options, because our hiking is very limited, and we need to stay close by the potty in the car and the snacks. So we hiked around for a little bit, and we knew it was almost time to go, and up on the hill, we see this tree, and the light is shining down on this tree, and we say, there it is. That's the tree. And Andy, my husband, laughed. He goes, okay, let's get it to it. And I said, but what if it's like 2 feet tall when we get up there? And he's like, we're taking it home. That's our tree. And we walk up there, we hike up, and sure enough, it's a squatty, like 3.5-foot tree. And we're like, it's ours. It's ours. And I called it the Bahu tree, because when I looked at it and the light was shining down, I started singing Bahu Forest, Bahu Chorus, Welcome Christmas. I don't actually know all the words to the song, but so we call it the Bahu tree, and it's in our living room on a table, and the cat has already knocked down about half of the ornaments, but the one-year-old can't reach it, so that's cool. Another highlight I have to tell you about is we decked the halls for our church this past week. I had so much fun with some of our church friends hanging things and spray painting, you know, because that's what any good decorator does. You just buy things and coat it with your color choice of spray paint. But we hung a bunch of these paper stars up, and I'll post a picture on the show notes because it's so pretty. And some of our gentlemen were unfolding these paper stars, and they were just breaking. I mean, crumbling in their hands. And I was laughing because I'd completed like 5 of them with no trouble at all. And they were literally destroying every single one that they touched. So I started to tease them, and one of the guys looks back at me, and he shoots back. He goes, I do not have the gentle hands of a mother. I was like, what? The gentle hands of a mother? I was not expecting that. So that is another skill set for your resume, moms. Gentle hands of a mother. Write that one down. All right, let's talk Santa. Sinterklaas. Saint Nicholas. Who is this man in red who gets credit for the gifts that we buy our children? And do we celebrate Santa in our house? Well, I am so glad you asked. Thank you very much. Now, this isn't Santa shaming. Okay, I'm not here to judge you if you guys do Santa, but I want to open your eyes up to the history of Santa and point it all back to the glory of God. Santa actually came up in our day 7 of our Advent reading from our Advent book called God Rest Ye Merry by Doug Wilson, which I talked about in the last podcast. We're reading it during the Advent season. It's been really delightful. Sometimes we think Santa is actually a competing story with Jesus in the Christian Christmas, but if we learn about the man behind Santa and teach the truth to our children, Santa can actually become someone who can continually remind our children and us of being faithful to the truth of the gospel, being bold as a lion, and we can learn some extreme generosity from this man. So there are a lot of legends surrounding Santa Claus and where he came from. So some of this is legend and some of this is fact, but I want to boil it all down for you in the end. So let's take a listen. Saint Nicholas of Myra, which is a city in modern day Turkey, was a 4th century bishop, and he was known and respected for his kindness and love for the needy and to children. He actually inherited a large fortune and then he gave it away. That's truth. He was a generous man. He got money and he could have done anything with it, and he gave it all away. He established orphanages, hospitals, and even hostels for the mentally infirm. And so legends begin to spread about his generosity, and this started to include him delivering gifts at night. Santa, yay. But legend has it that Nicholas was actually at the Council of Nicaea, and it is said that Nicholas slapped a man named Arius in the face for blasphemy. This man Arius was trying to denounce the divinity of Christ. He wanted it, you know, to be this popular thing that Jesus wasn't God and Jesus wasn't eternal, all those things. Can you imagine? So Santa stood up for the truth. And so whether or not you agree with punching or slapping for blasphemy, the man was committed to the truth. And so this actually got him kicked out of being a bishop for a breach of decorum. But later it said he was reinstated and he was made a saint, which is another topic altogether. And it is ironic that he stood up for truth and then later the poor guy was made a saint, which, by the way, the saints that are in the Bible are those saved through the blood of Christ and doing the work of the Lord here on earth. But you know what? That's another topic for another day. Anyway, so stories continued to spread about his generosity long after he went to be with the Lord. And there are very many versions of these stories, but at the heart of them all is a generous heart. Which, when I come to think of it, Santa Claus has become more about children's behavior modification than a man's generosity to give. I mean, I never considered that as a child, that it was me earning gifts from a man. Not once did I ever think, you know, when I believed in Santa, that he was this most generous man just blessing me with gifts. I was earning them from Santa. Okay, so there were different European traditions that came over to America, and some of these are listed in the book that I referenced. The Scandinavians brought their conception of him as an elf. The Dutch brought the name for him, Sinterklaas. In 1808, Washington Irving wrote a story about him as a jolly Dutchman. In 1822, a poet named Moore wrote The Night Before Christmas, which, you know, tells us all about Santa's present delivery system and gave us reindeer and a sleigh. Flying reindeer at that. Thank you, Moore. And in 1863, Thomas Nast, who was a famous cartoonist, he actually drew the popular conception of Santa that we all know today. The hat, the belt, the holly, the belly. And I love what Doug Wilson says about what we can learn from the Santa story. This issue for us is not stockings by the chimney or other harmless customs, but we must learn from this that if we do not tell our stories, and he means the stories of our Christian heritage, they will gradually change over time until they have become quite unrecognizable. With a story like this, one that has in the minds of many supplanted the story of the Christ child, we have to remember that Saint Nicholas probably would have slugged someone over it. We as Christians have the privilege and the responsibility to continue educating the world about the works of God, about men and women who have upheld the gospel truth and who have given their lives for it as well. Tell the stories of the Reformation. Tell who Nicholas is to our children. Telling the faithfulness of God through people like Nicholas is part of Christ in Christmas. You see, we have the opportunity to tell our children who the real Santa Claus is. And even if there is legend that surrounds him, there is still truth. Truth that this was a generous man who feared the Lord, who submitted his finances to God, and did a faithful work for the Lord's name. I became a maturing Christian in college. And then when I got married and had kids, my husband and I started to think all about the Santa thing again. And my husband's mother, you know, we reference what our parents did. My husband's mother told the kids that Santa was a real man, but he died. Which makes us all laugh because that's how the kids remember it. But I really think she told it much more like the information I just gave you from the God Rest You Merry book. Oh, children, what they remember. So we decided to take cues from all of that and then to start telling our children where the story of Santa comes from. We want to share our Christian heritage with our children, just like Doug Wilson had mentioned, that our kids can grow up thinking of God at work through a man every time they see jolly old Saint Nick for the praise and glory of God. I mean, that's what life's all about. We get to help our kids, help ourselves, help our friends think more of God. And what a wonderful opportunity to do this, that we don't have to ignore Santa. You know, we don't have to say, oh, not Santa Claus, he's dead. It's a lie created by the greedy American capitalists to secure their riches, you know, and somehow I think it's all tied to big pharma. You know, those pharmaceuticals, they are behind this whole Santa thing. Santa can just go to, you know, no. We can watch all the movies, you know, we don't have to put our hands over children's eyes all Christmas long, and we don't have to lie. We can give glory to God. And by giving our children a Christian education and a heritage lesson on who this Saint Nicholas is, and teach them a lesson of generosity and how he gave. We can follow Nicholas's generous spirit as he followed Christ. And we can even tell the legend of him standing up for good theology, good doctrine, so that you and me, so that our children can know the one true God. Man, that's so good. We can teach the boldness to live boldly, to know sound theology, to believe it and be convinced and convicted. So we can use this crazy culture to continually remind us of the greatness of God. Okay, so we've talked about this man who is generous, but let's talk about what the Bible says about generosity. First of all, when we think of generosity, it must start and be rooted in Christ's generosity towards us. Let's start in Philippians 2, verses 4 through 11. This is ESV. It says, "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He gave his life for us. He was obedient to death on a cross. Romans 5:6 says, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I got more, ladies. Romans 5:15, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Romans 8:34, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." What a generous God. How generous has he been to us? So then how shall we live with such generosity bestowed towards us, that we, a sinful person, a sinful woman, a sinful man, that we would be able to come into the presence of God because the righteousness of Christ has been bestowed on us, because he is interceding for us. What a gift, a free gift that he gave. What a generous God. So then how shall we live? Well, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Jesus who died for us. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who, for their sake, died and was raised." How else shall we live? We live with bearing fruit for God's glory in mind. Romans 7:4, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him, to Christ, who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. We have been raised to be fruitful servants of the Lord. So if we are living for the Lord now, we get to love others and we get to live with a generous heart. And it should be a mark of all believers. Now, the word generous means to be ready to distribute. And that is very convicting for me as a woman who hosts people in my home each week. We have our city group at our house and our friends bring food to share with each other. And it's a great practice of being generous because it can cost. It costs extra money, you know, to bring a dish that feeds 12 to 15 people every week. And I definitely have felt the stretch in our wallet many times when we've done this. So when people come over and ask to use the ketchup for their dish or butter sticks or milk or salad dressing, you know, to complete their meal, my eye starts to do that little twitch, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, I hope they don't see that, but it's about to go crazy. And, you know, I've been very tempted to kind of bark back and say, do you know this food is for our family? You're stealing ketchup from our children. My daughter won't eat any meal without ketchup and you are stealing it from her. You know, I've already made a dish for you to eat and you want more of my food? You want more, don't you? Can't you just? Yeah, I get emotional about it. It's an ugly battle, friends, but that's my heart. But to be generous is to be ready to give in those moments, ready to distribute, to love others from the wallet of my heart, to bear with them and their growing faith, and maybe even to use it as a teachable moment. I'm not saying be a doormat, you know, I'm saying be generous and be ready and prepared to give. But we really need to look at how our hearts react in these moments. And I see my idols of my heart in those moments. And that's what generosity and gift giving in this season or any other season, you know, like wedding season, birthday season, food drive season, you know, it's really all about our hearts and what they are worshiping. And you know, what does that famous Matthew 6:21 verse say? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I wrote a piece before blogs were cool, way back in the day, because my roommates had used my pancake mix and I was furious. So stupid thinking back, but I was so upset. And the Lord used it as a lesson for me. And that verse, I wrote this article and the title was, "For where your pancakes are, there your heart will be also." It was a very, very convicting moment of my life. But that's where we need to investigate when our mood turns sour, when we say, hey, that's mine, when we ignore the needs of other people in general, we need to ask ourselves, where is our treasure? We need to repent of those attitudes. You know, for me, it creeps in all the time. This may be hard for some of us because I'm sitting here raising my hand. I am very protective of my things and my resources and my money. But God says that we are stewards of these things, that He is the giver of these things. So after we repent, we must turn to the Word of God and fill our hearts with truth, because it's not enough to say, oh yeah, I shouldn't think that way. We got to fill our minds with the truth, because otherwise we just go right back on to believing what the world says, believing what our fickle hearts tell us that it is ours. So here are some verses on generosity that have helped me. Acts 20:35 says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" That is a verse that I talk about constantly with my daughter. It is more blessed to give than receive. It's a lesson that's hard for me as an adult in my 30s. And to communicate this with a little girl is so convicting. But do we believe that? Do we believe the joy of the Lord that when we give, He blesses our hearts? Proverbs 11:24 and 25 says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." Man, when we're stingy, we get stingy back. 1 John 3:17, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" If we cannot love our brother who we see, how can we love God? Proverbs 21:13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. There's consequences to our stingy hearts. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's not enough to give. Our attitudes have to submit to the throne of God too. It's a heart thing. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can meet the needs of anyone at any time. This is about our hearts worshiping the Lord. That's what generosity is about. It's a worship thing. It's amazing. God is so good to us to challenge us in this way so that we can have freedom to love Him with our whole being. So I'll have all these verses on the show notes, and I encourage you, maybe take some time this week and read over them and ask the Lord which one to focus on. Which one of these verses will encourage your soul with where you're at in this moment? Now, I'm not a stranger to hurdles of giving. I have listed my top three hurdles and some ideas about them. Number one, you know, everybody wants to talk about this, is a stingy heart. Yeah, we kind of covered that just now, but I want to admit that I am the chief of sinners in this area. And I'll call it like it is so we can live in the truth and freedom. This is greed. This is idolatry. This is my problem so many days. I see it even like if my husband and I go out to a restaurant, his plate is fair game. I can dibs anything on his plate. You know, that shrimp, mine. You know, that rice pilaf, mine. Oh, you got Coke? Mine. You know, I can totally dibs it and have samples. But he's like, hey, can I try, you know, that piece of steak? I'm like, psh, get your fork over there. That's my steak. Dibs on my steak. Dibs on my everything on this table. Dibs. You know, and I just see stinginess just come out, just full form. Thank you, husband, for loving me and letting me eat your food. You're very kind to me. Anyway, the cure we talked about is repentance and belief in the truth and a good look at generosity of Christ on our souls. Man, if we're ever struggling with being stingy, let us go back to the gospel and to the God who was not stingy for us, that Jesus spilt his blood for us. All right, another hurdle to giving, to being generous, especially in this season of Christmas, is a lack of money. I mean, sometimes we just don't have the financial resources to be as generous as we want to be. And I have been there for so many years, and it can be discouraging and embarrassing. But many times the reason we feel those things is that the gift has become more about us and how we feel when we give it and how it reflects on us. Or maybe because there's a lack of thankfulness of what we do have and what we can give. So again, all these heart issues, it's like hearts are deceitful above all things or something. I don't know. I have a couple ways that we really dealt with the stretch of the wallet, especially when times have been really tight. I mean, we have gone through the first 5 years of our marriage paying off severe student loans. And so I understand that there are months that are just seem unbearable sometimes. They really do. So in these moments of just financial stretch and difficulty, these are some things that I have learned. And the first thing is to submit our hearts and our finances to the Lord. And we need to be giving to God. We need to be giving to God first. It again is about the heart, and the Lord calls us to give to His church. And so that's the first thing that we need to do, and that submits our finances to Him. The next thing is to work hard at saving each month. Like if we know Christmas is coming up, this is so hard for me, but good stewards think of the future. And we have 12 months until Christmas to save a little bit each month. And even if it's 10 bucks here or there, we can get there. We can get to a place where we are able to be generous because we have chosen to save and not spend it on ourselves to be able to give. Another way is, you know, if you do Christmas gift exchanges with your family members, however you've decided to do that, to communicate expectations. Communicate it with your spouse and your family. I know that my husband would literally go bankrupt buying me gifts because gifts are my love language. I love gifts. He loves me, so he loves buying me things, and I'm so grateful. It's so beautiful. But we had years when we both had to understand love needed to be in smaller gifts at low, low, low price points. And maybe just, you know, hugs. But, you know, he hunted harder and he got more creative. And we've bought gifts from Facebook buy, sell, trade sites. I don't know if you've ever been on those or Nextdoor. Oh my gosh, we've gotten so much stuff off that Nextdoor app. That's like a neighborhood Facebook. We've saved gift cards to buy things for each other. We've looked at consignment shops. 1 year for Mother's Day, Andy actually got me these beautiful flower mugs and cups from a friend that I just thought were so pretty. And my friend gave them to Andy to give to me for Mother's Day. So thank you, Suze. I love those cups. I drink out of them today. And maybe you can do gift exchanges by drawing names. Our family, or my husband's family, we draw a name and then we do a white elephant gift exchange. And it really relieves the financial pressure on all of us. Communication is so important and it can help us, you know, not feel pressured or have guilt, but still be able to show love. My third hurdle to giving is the overwhelming need of the poor and even ministry workers, especially year-end gifts. I don't know about you, but we get dozens and dozens and dozens of letters saying, you know, help us meet our year-end goals. We're sharing the gospel here. We're doing the work of the Lord here. These nonprofits, we're ministering to the sick and ministering to women with unplanned pregnancies, all these things. And you're like, oh, I want to help everyone. But here's the deal. We can't. Maybe you can. Maybe you're like good old Saint Nick. Hey, Santa, you just give. But then there's, you know, the rest of us, you and me. But we're called to be generous and to do so cheerfully. So the problem isn't, you know, I can't be generous because I can't give to all these places. So I'm going to give to none of these places. But really, we need to ask ourselves, how can I be generous to one of these people or organizations? And how can I get my children involved to be generous too? How can I use this as a lesson with a friend of mine at church or my kids? At our church right now, our children ages 4 and up are being challenged to give generously in order to help build a well for kids who need clean water in Africa. And this money isn't supposed to come from parents. It's supposed to come from the kids, either their savings or they're supposed to go home and ask their parents, is there any chore I can do, earn extra income so that I can give out of what I've earned? And these kids, it's amazing. I came up there because I'm helping with the Christmas singing program and they were raising up their dollar bills. It was really precious. They had their change and their little envelopes and they were so pumped to give cheerfully. Oh gosh, I need lessons from children every day. They gave generously and with cheerful hearts. So this Christmas season, there's a lot going on. You're busy. You have a lot of new stuff in your home, you know, like 3.5-foot pine trees. Santa Clauses are everywhere on the TV, in your next door neighbor's yard, in blow-up form. I mean, we have so many opportunities this season to, one, teach generosity through the Word of God and using things like cultural American Santa Claus. And it's a place for us to really submit our hearts to the Lord, to be ready to distribute. You know, since this is an area that is I struggle in, I'm going to pray for all of us right now that we would be able to submit this area of our heart to the Lord and that He would give us generous hearts. So pray with me now. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you are a most generous God, that you did not spare your own son, but you gave him up for us all. Lord, I pray that we too would in turn live for you, including our finances, that we would be women who are generous, that we would be ready to distribute, that we would be servants of you. And however you determine us to give, we would do so cheerfully. I pray that we would be able to teach it to our children and to our friends who we may be discipling. And God, please forgive us for the times that we've had stingy hearts. I know that that is me on so many days. Thank you for your forgiveness. Please give us your truth that it is more blessed to give than receive. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the She Proves Faithful podcast. Remember, you can check out today's show notes at sheprovesfaithful.com/podcast/episode21. There are all those verses on there that we talked about today. Remember, join me for the Advent reading. It is not too late. No way, no way. It's never too late to start reading the Bible. Go there. You can find some great scriptures we are about to talk about. John the Baptist and Jesus. being born. It's going to be awesome. I mean, you knew it was coming anyway. Can't pull any surprises on you. Join us in that Advent reading. You can catch me on Instagram at She Proves Faithful. Tag me if you're doing some Advent reading. I'd love to see it and be encouraged with you. May you prove faithful in all the Lord has given you to do. We'll see you next time.